Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are joined this morning by Congressman Denver Riggleman, who's the Republican who represents the 5th Congressional District. And Congressman, glad to have you here. I guess we've got to start with your thoughts on these shootings. Any reaction? What do you expect to see in Congress?
Awful. And, I was just in El Paso down on the border area for 5 days.
Oh, that's right. I saw those photos of you touring detention facilities.
Right. And we were already sort of horrified what was going on in El Paso, but also what was going on. We had some shootings of private ranchers and drug cartel smuggling routes out there. And we actually went to the ranches, talked to those individuals. And when talking to them, they were even afraid to give their names because of cartel violence. So I was already, and I knew this, based on my background and because I did a little bit of surveillance there and back in another time in my life. So, we come back here and I'm looking at El Paso, the very place that I've been, for that to happen there. And also in Dayton, which, I was at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base all the time as a member of the United States Air Force doing acquisitions. So looking at these two places, it's just horrific and awful. And it is time to actually reevaluate our law enforcement structure and what we're doing in data. And there's many things that we can do. And, I've been doing a lot of studying last night based on my domestic terrorism and actually counterterrorism background. And I just think there are things that we can do to stop this violence. It's just unbelievable to me.
Well, what would you suggest?
I think the first thing, a lot of people are talking about red flag laws. I don't know if people realize red flag laws are already in the books under the definition of terroristic threats. And I find it interesting. There is, there are some things so many people know more than me about, John, let me tell you. But when it comes to actually counterterrorism, counterintelligence and analysis, there's nobody on the floor of Congress who knows more than I do. And especially when you're looking at data, but also looking at terroristic threat statutes. And I don't know if people realize this. On the federal level, a terroristic threat is only a misdemeanor. And why is that not a felony? And when I was looking at, the Dayton shooter who was suspended from school for having a hit list, my question is that fell under the terroristic threats paradigm and under the definition immediately. So regardless if he's 16, 17, or 18, my first question would be, why wasn't the terroristic threat statutes already in the book, which really are laws to get in front of this type of activity? And that's why it's so funny that people are screaming for this when we already have this on the book on the federal and local side. Why aren't they being enforced? I think the second, so things like that really bother me. They really bother me.
Well, I can understand. If you look at somebody like this, and now we're in the days following the shootings, we're in theory going to find out factual information, not just speculation about the individuals who committed these crimes. What is it that makes someone or makes a community find a kid or a young person with overt threats of violence and then find some sort of bureaucratic way or some sort of sympathetic way of just sweeping it aside and not dealing with it aggressively? I mean, I guess there's a judgment call that has to be made, and then you just pray you've made the right decision. But I mean, is that the kind of thing in your experience that is happening more often than not?
I think there's a little bit of fear involved, especially if you're dealing with younger people, and especially in the radicalization front. I dealt with Islamic radicalization. There's no difference in white nationalist radicalization. There's no difference in any radicalization from any government group that perpetrates violence. And that could be white nationalists, and we're seeing that with Antifa now. So now you have all these groups, and if you look at just a specific definition of domestic terrorism, they want to perpetrate violence on people based on, religion, skin color. There's a lot of definitions there. We have these actual definitions on the books based on historical context, based on experience, based on corporate knowledge, and based on actually going after these individuals, whether it be through social network analysis or any of the other things that we do, which is SNA, call chaining. We need to go after these radical groups. Listen, social media, we've been looking at this for a long time. This is not new. But the radicalization of these individuals on sites such as 8chan, on many of the encrypted sites that are out there, it is time for a task force to go actually enforce terroristic threat, right, legislation. But we have to do the same thing that we've done overseas, and we have to root these groups out, call them what they are, don't be afraid to identify them, and get in front of this problem. And I think you have fear. I think you have lack of resources. But really, I think you have a lack of training all the way across the board. I mean, local PD is probably not going to know that somebody's using, you know, an encrypted site to be radicalized on. And I just have a feeling that we're going to have to start calling a spade a spade. We're going to have to identify these groups. We got to go after them as groups. And when you're looking at 18, 19, 17-year-olds radicalizing each other on social network sites, that is a crime. That is a crime. That is terroristic threats against a group of people and actually, you know, saying, hey, we're going to commit violence against this group, regardless of what that group is. If we can get away from this ridiculous name calling, people want common sense and actually have adults at the table, I think we can do some things.
What do you think white nationalism is? You know, I'm loath to start to say go after people because, you know, I talk about how I think our government is out of control. Does that make me a white nationalist for being critical of the government? I mean, I'm actually kind of worried that somehow I'm going to get lumped into the group that would hate minorities and want to, you know, because I'm anti-illegal immigration. You know what I'm saying? That definition is really important.
Immigration.
Right, right.
You know, part of it, you know, securing the border is absolutely necessary. I've been down there looking at between the points of entry, how violence has skyrocketed. I have the pictures. I've seen the staging areas. I've seen the human and sex trafficking areas on the border on private property. You know, anybody who says there's not an issue between the points of entry are lying. They don't know intelligence. They don't know operations. And that's the thing, is that you have a bunch of misinformation coming from the far left. But when you're looking at white nationalism, there is a threshold, or you're looking at Islam. I guess what I'm trying to say is there's a definition of if you say you're going to hurt somebody, mm-hmm. you have already crossed the realm into terroristic threats based on federal statutes and also local and state statutes. The issue with these actual statutes is intent. That's, I think, where you're getting to. What is the intent, right? Intent is very difficult. But I think you always have to err on the side of liberty when you're talking about protecting people's individual rights. But once you cross that threshold into saying, I'm going to hurt those certain individuals, I have created a hit list.
That is different.
That is a threshold of language that comes to, I'm going to hurt you.
And I'm,
you know, and here, you know, that's in liberty. Here's the thing. Your right to throw a punch ends where my nose begins.
Right.
So that is what we have to look at, is what are the terroristic threat language? We already have these laws in the books, and I just find it fascinating that everybody wants to politicize this and actually blame other groups for this. White nationalism, or Mexico threatening to do a lawsuit against us after the cartel
violence. That's insanity.
They want to open that can of worms. I'm happy to go.
Watching the clock. I got to ask you about the same-sex wedding. No. This is very helpful. We could do a half hour, and I think it's important for us to discern all of this. The same-sex wedding, I know the two guys that you married recently. You agreed to officiate at the wedding. How did this go down, and why do you think your people in the Republican Party are so mad at you about this? I mean, I thought this issue was off the table for a lot of Republicans.
Well, I did too. I mean, I know them also, and we have tried very hard to, you know, they've actually gotten active out of a little bit of anger because I don't know if you know this, they knocked doors for me in my campaign, right?
I heard they were volunteers for your campaign, a lot of other Republicans too. So.
Oh yeah, a lot of Republicans. Plus, they like my distillery, John. So, we bonded, but, my family loves them. They're incredible people. And I think what we've forgotten, there's three things that I want government to do, right? I want them to stay out of my business, stay out of my pocketbook or my wallet, and stay out of my bedroom. And I don't think we want a Republican Party that's only small enough to be in our bedrooms. There's something about being free, right, about separating, right, personal religion from the public square. And right now, if we're going to be the party of Lincoln, the party that was for emancipation and civil rights, that fought the Democrats back in the 60s and all the way back. I mean, 1924, the Racial Integrity Act was actually a Democrat-run General Assembly right here in Virginia. We are the party of individual freedom. And if somebody can enter into a contract, a male and female, for tax advantages, so can a male and a male. So can a female and a female. We are about the party of individual liberty. And we have to remember that as Republicans, we'll become a very small party and not a big tent party for people who have conservative values on taxes, on all the things that we talk about that are Republican values. So I found it a little bit disturbing that some of those individuals reacted the way they did. And I think it's something that we need to get away from as quickly as possible, especially those type of ideas.
Congressman Denver Riggleman, the Republican who represents the 5th District, I really appreciate you staying on long with us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, and you have a great day.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.